out. So this next case is EA09-170059. It's a design advice. The applicant is Alex Haker Meyer.
It's Meyer Shear Rock Castle.
Rock
yes.
Castle. Okay, LTD. Thank you. I apologize for any mispronunciations. And we're looking at Centennial Mills redevelopment. I guess I'd like to. Does staff want to do any kind of preliminary presentation on this, or are we just leaving it to the applicant?
I will do a very brief presentation.
Okay.
And so will the applicant, and then we'll have some discussion.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. This is a design advice request for the Centennial Mills redevelopment proposal. As you all are aware, the purpose of the design advice request is preliminary in nature. It's also less formal and advisory. It is not required part of our process, but it's an opportunity to have applicants inform the process, staff, and the commission early on usually large and potentially challenging development proposals. There is the possibility for a return design advice request to check in on any comments or concerns raised by the commission at the first. And the product summary will be a staff memo reviewed by the commission and then mailed out to interested parties. Excuse me. The zoning for the site is central employment. There is a design overlay and a greenway overlay. And, of course, follows along the west bank of the Willamette River. The recreational trail, as noted on the zoning map, is required to be provided as a part of new development along the river. This is a Central City Plan District site and is also in the River Subdistrict, and more specifically in the North Pearl subarea. New development will be subject to a 2-to-1 floor area ratio limit as well as a maximum 100-foot height limit. This project, being existing, largely has those features grandfathered in. I know the applicant will go in much more detail, but just to ground us, this map is oriented north to the left. The site area in red, and some of the other features that are notable is the future Fields Park to the west across NATO, and of course the Union heavy rail tracks. The site of Centennial Mills is approximately 12 industrial flour milling structures built in the early 20th century, 1910, 1940. The site also includes the Mounted Police Unit. Their exterior paddock, horse corral, and some parking. The proposal is effectively the conversion of 30% of the mill complex, removing it to allow for an open space wharf. The intent of the development is to bring connections through from NATO Parkway, along the Greenway Trail, along the Willamette River, and as mentioned, the Pearl District's urban parks, notably Fields. The developments tend to be bordered by retail, occupying within the converted warehouse, grain bins, flour mills, and feed mills. The wharf and bridge lover tenants, the bridge crossing NATO, as mentioned, would include local and non-franchise businesses, and at least that's their intent. And the current plan, and redevelopment plan rather, would also maintain accommodating the Mounted Police Unit and their existing facility with some minor revisions. It's important to note that this project went through a framework plan funded in large part by the PDC. This plan was a result of 6 months of process stemming from a city council resolution, which directed the PDC and the Bureau of Planning, now also known as the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, to work with interested stakeholders to develop a comprehensive plan for this site. And key in that framework plan were several redevelopment principles, and they were grounded in providing open space, capturing history, defining a community focal point, strengthening connections, and embracing sustainability. And then just as a final section, it's important to note, it is likely that this project will be subject to what is known as a Greenway Goal Exception. The rationale behind that is the uses that are proposed within the greenway setback and seaward of the top of bank are otherwise uses that are not river dependent as defined by the code. This greenway goal exception process is an exception of what is otherwise known as a statewide planning goal 15 on the Willamette Greenway, This project, therefore, will need to ultimately have a Greenway Goal exception approved by City Council. Staff will make recommendation to the hearings officer before it goes to City Council for what will hopefully be the approval. This is noteworthy for the commission now. However, presumably by the time this project comes back before the Design Commission, this part of the process will be wrapped up or well on its way before you see this again. So finally, specific advice at this meeting is, number one, the overall concept. Two, the connections of this project, of course, to the district, the bridge, the adjacent development, and, of course, the Greenway Trail and the river. Three, for open spaces, four, the structure of materials, building removal and replacement, new materials, reuse of old, and lastly, but not least, street front activation. And, of course, it's open for any other topics. That's really all I have to say. The applicant has a much more detailed presentation on the specifics of the project, the ins and outs. But those are the general points. If you have any questions, I'm happy to work them over. Otherwise, I'd kick it to them.
All right. Hi, thanks for having us. My name's Chris from the lab. We really appreciate the opportunity to share the project with you. And I just want to start by introducing the rest of our team that's here. Ryan, to my left, is with the lab. He's the project director overseeing this project. Alex and Tom are both from MSNR. They're the architects on the project. We're really lucky to have a great design team working on this. Alex and Tom have great experience with not only historic buildings, industrial buildings on waterfronts and restoring them, but more importantly, restoring grain mills and doing, you know, not only the great architects but and designers, but have really specific experience and a passion for this building type, which is serving us well.
It would be good if at least get the applicant's address right into the record, since this is a public hearing.
Sure. The address, we're lab holding, the address is 709 Randolph Avenue. It's in Costa Mesa, California.
Okay. Thanks.
And then also in the audience, we have our landscape architects, which are Julie from Dirt Studios and Robin from Greenwork Studios. And then we're all available to answer questions after we kind of give a brief presentation. Tom's going to go through the project and the design elements, but before we did that, I just wanted to give a quick overview from our standpoint as operators of this project, once we're constructed and open, kind of what our vision for the project is and kind of what's important and the direction that we're headed. As you guys know, the project intent is that this is a culinary kind of focused project. And for us, that doesn't mean that it's a group of restaurants. There will be food service here, you know, both nice restaurants and casual restaurants. But we're looking at the culinary arts as a little bit wider of a spectrum, and it'll include things like education, so possibly a culinary school on site. It can include health items, wellness, gardening, beyond food service, also food manufacturing. So we would like to see users here that are both manufacturing and selling their food on site. So it could be a baker, a cheese maker. If we could find like an urban winery, you know, that maybe want to actually produce on this site, and then also have a venue to be able to interact with the public. That's kind of the direction that we're seeing this project and where we want to go. And that will, you know, we're definitely going to have a family and kid focus here, and that'll follow into kind of how we program the site with festivals and fairs and different events that happen on the site. The next one. With that said, kind of the community aspect, as operators, once this is built and tenanted, a large part of our interaction with this project will be the kind of community events, and that's an important part for how we activate each one of our projects. These pictures are from some of our other projects, but the things that we like to do are have different community events, including concerts, outdoor movie screenings, different art openings, family programs and kid programs. And I think as a culinary project, most of these will be focused around the culinary arts. So if we can have demonstrations, outdoor demonstrations that include cooking for families or kids, and then, you know, just having different ideas of how we include community participation in each element of this project. And when you see not only the building design, but kind of the open space design for this project, we're looking at each one of those open spaces as this little venue for, you know, community interaction and different events like this. So we're designing those with these programs in mind. And these are kind of things that we're doing currently almost on a weekly basis at our other centers. Excellent. And as Tim mentioned, we were kind of given five guiding principles just for from the development standpoint. And I think we've been following those with how we look at the design of this project. Internally, we've kind of developed these program principles. And the idea here is to, guide us, the lab, when we're looking at uses and tenets for this space. So not just the physical space, but what are the things that we're trying to do, almost a mission for this project. And just to run through these, the first one is nourish. So uses that both nourish the body and soul, respect the environment, people and history, gather, creating places of gathering. Kind of mentioned that with these landscape open spaces that we're creating. It's really important that these are activated open spaces that we're building. It's important that we engage people and provide opportunities for participation. So this isn't just a place that you come shop and leave. There's actually other things that you do once you're here. Enabling and empowering people. Again, so this isn't just a retail experience. The idea that you can come to site and be educated, in culinary arts and learn how to do that, or take away something in about sustainability and actually use that in your lifestyle and kind of enable you to do that. Enrich people's lives in a community through the arts. The arts are an important part of every one of our projects, and you'll see that both in just the visual arts and kind of how we build this project, but then also performing arts as we kind of go through the participation part of this project. And lastly, just encouraging social activism through this project. So these are kind of just the things that we look to as we're kind of going through and making sure that we're staying on track with where we want to take this project. With that, I'm going to pass over to Tom and Alex and let them go through the physical design of the project. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Tom Meyer. Sorry. We're just getting to the first slide here. Well, this is an introduction to the fundamental nature of the project and a little history that you know well. The site was bought by the city with the intent of turning it into a park. And then through citizen concern, the agenda changed to have both the park and the preservation of buildings of historic nature. So the very essence of the project is one of a both-and scenario, where open space is very much part of the, and parkland, public space, but also the preservation of buildings. So what you see on the upper right is a rendering of, and maybe I'll just, with at least this first few boards, I'll go up.
Unless someone has a pointer.
Yeah, we might. We'll have to see if we can pick you up, too, in terms of sound. So if we can get this over towards you, I feel like it won't come
with you. Okay. All right, I'll try to speak up. This is the, of course, the original building as it stands today, and what you can see here is the subtraction of some of the building infrastructure. The very nature of the project is that we are not building new.
Tom, we found a pointer.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to go back and sit down. Sorry. Okay. Thank you. So the very nature of the project is really not building new space, but rather subtracting existing buildings in a strategic way. So a stretch of about 40 or 50 feet wide along the river on the wharf is subtracted to make a public wharf. And then there is a stretch of about 60 or and greater, getting greater as you move forward towards the water, of building that is subtracted there, which links NATO to the project. Furthermore, there is a bridge, which we'll talk about in a minute, that goes across NATO from the New Fields Park. And that will come at a third level through existing grain elevators and walk and be descend down through something that we've called the Willamette Steps to this area. Below the wharf, there is a potential for a greenway connection that would go basically at the riverbank greenway level to the north eventually as things develop there, but to the south as part of this project. Another aspect of this subtraction process is that there are three grain elevators on the project. They are built like this one in Superior, Wisconsin, which is being dismantled, as a series of approximately 100-foot tall solid wood-walled bins, pictured 2x12s laying flat to form the walls. We are going to make space, habitable space in them, by cutting out some of the panels of wood and turning them flat to make floors. Also to reuse those panels between shops, perhaps as flooring material. And so this image of a quarry gives a kind of a metaphor for that subtraction and that editing process, where the selective removal of material in these bins is both reveals the history of them, we think, but also is a beautiful material architecture. This is a project of ours in Minneapolis, which has a somewhat of a similar strategy. In this case, the building, a National Historic Landmark mill, burned, and we did not rebuild the entire structure within it, but rather set it back to have a public space within this courtyard. So that kind of strategy is in some ways similar to what's being employed here. Next. Tim mentioned the guiding principles for the project. These are there are five slides here, which indicate how the project has responded to those principles. I think it's probably not possible for very many people to read these, so I'll just sort of summarize them. This one is about making connections, and perhaps the primary connection is through that area of the mill complex, which we remove so that the neighborhood through Fields Park has a visual and actual connection to the waterfront. The bridge that will span across the tracks in NATO from the park, of course, is another connection. The greenway coming from the south can both go under the wharf, as I pointed out earlier, and connect, or also ascend one level on a ramp to the wharf level itself. There's also the possibility of boat connection and landing for some time in the future, or possibly as part of this project as another connection. And then, of course, getting across the street on the one street that at grade connection that exists here. We hope to make some improvements to that street to make it a really safe and attractive connection. Next. Next principle is to provide a community focal point. The hope is that with Fields Park and this complex, the entire area will seem like a focal point. A kind of a yin and a yang, with the open space here supporting the more complex structure and open space over on this side. So there's certainly a visual connection. The bridge will be coordinated design-wise, and there'll be some sort of a planting response here. We hope to put some design response here that will kind of bring some of the park over into the mill complex, for example. As Chris talked about, there are many programmatic focal points that can happen in a place like this, right on the wharf: poetry readings, art events, music, and the like. The next objective was to capture history. Obviously, keeping all the buildings is the primary aspect of capturing history. This is the last remaining wharf building of a city that our brief look into history here was once characterized very extensively by buildings built on piers facing the wharf. So it's a very special building in that regard. The three colors here represent two milling buildings that are concrete. The three grain elevators, which are partially demolished as I and mined, as I mentioned, and then these one-story tall one-story truss and skylit roofed warehouses. Each of those types is preserved. It's the one-story buildings which are partially demolished to make the open space. There are also sort of iconic elements: the water tower, dust collector, and a bit of a conveyor, which will be beacons on the skyline, also representing the history of the project. Another principle, the fourth principle, is sustainability. We have a stormwater processing system in an area we're calling the Grove, where roof water and surface water from these wharfs are collected and cleaned and then brought into the river from that area. We have a series of strategies that have to do with mechanical systems and electrical systems and green leases and the like, which will be employed. Probably where this project will really be at the state of the art relative to sustainability is with material. As I already mentioned, we really want to use as much of the material from the site as we can, repositioning it, and there will be excess material which we can sell. Next. Final principle, provide open space. There is open space at the riverfront, which will be likely to be a cutback and re-landscaped, although that's part of an approval process yet ahead of us. Of course, there's the open space at the wharf itself, which will be very special. There's the Grove area, which will be shaded and tree-lined. There is the Willamette Steps, which will have wonderful views, a sunny spot to sit, wonderful views both of people watching and also of the water, and then open space that's actually partially covered as the public procession from the bridge through these elevators goes down to the wharf. Next. This is somewhat redundant with Tim's slide, but this project is an important urban piece in the city's fabric and the intentions for the long-term planning. It links the Greenway with the Pearl District Park System and the boardwalk. It crosses a busy street, which is something of a barrier, with the pedestrian bridge and with the at-grade connection. Next, as kind of zeroing in a bit, you see really the landscape plan here of the area where Fields Park, as a large open space, has a major a pedestrian route which begins to ascend here, crosses NATO, and comes into the third level of one of the elevators, and goes through that elevator to an outdoor third level platform, and then descends these steps to this sort of central heart of the complex. And then the Greenway comes along and connects here, and under the wharf, it in the future can connect to the development to the north. Next. This is the NATO level floor plan. So there is a loading dock. All the wharf level is basically up about 4 feet loading dock height from NATO. So there are ramps and stairways that will be installed to that loading dock, which will function as a sidewalk to shops and restaurants, which will line NATO. The main sidewalk that is relatively new will continue on at the level of the street itself. All of this then is the public space. You can see that shops and restaurants are aligned around it on both sides. The mounted police unit retains a large part of their current space. It gets more consolidated, but it would function in a more consolidated way, just as it does now. Next. This is a kind of intermediate level. It's not yet a level of the where the bridge comes across, but they're just to indicate to you that there is a small kind of halfway level that links to mezzanine levels of shops here. There will also be some mezzanine level here, and there's some mezzanine level which the police will use for office space over here. Next level up is the level at which the bridge comes across NATO. It goes through this elevator building, actually two elevator buildings, and it's lined again with rental space, perhaps on this level with more of an art focus. It crosses over to an overlook and descends. Next. The typical upper levels are office space here and here and here. Next. There are some sections. We can get into these if you'd like to later. Wanted to get to these renderings. Here you see the bridge coming across NATO. You also see where these trees are, the gap, the grove where the NATO level entrance will go behind the flour mill to the wharf. You can see this extraction or kind of mining process that I've mentioned cutting through the grain elevators. And if you have the drawing right in front of you, you could see that in the distance here is a view of the river and the water as you go through. Next, this is the image that was in the very first slide. Again, the wharf space. There are some steps that make a kind of a water viewing platform. One of the nice things about this is that you, as you approach the water, you won't have a railing to look through because the railing can be at a lower level. So I think you can really get an open view of the water. You can see down here the future bike path and greenway connection that can be at that lower level. And then here again, the Willamette steps coming down from the bridge connection. There are also some outdoor covered spaces here and here, which would be great spaces in a rainy or very sunny, hot day to have public functions. Next. There's a series of black and white perspectives of various places in the project. I won't go through all of these. I think they're self-explanatory unless you have questions. Maybe I'll just point out this is a pretty good view of this Willamette Steps idea where, you know, in this case about, oh, let's say 90% or so of this elevator is mined away, leaving a kind of a ruin of steps and wooden planters and skylights down to shops beneath, and then it proceeds through to the bridge beyond. Next, this is a shot without the trees of the grove. So you are coming from NATO walking towards the wharf, so the water is right where the red bead is, and this is full of trees and planters and the stormwater treatment facility. This is a shot of the third floor platform after you come through from Fields Park, looking back towards Fields Park, but it shows these the other two elevators, again, partially demolished, and the wood exposed, and office space formed. This is looking from that same spot the other direction down to the wharf, and the Willamette steps are just past here, and these are these icons, industrial icons that are kept on the skyline. Next. Site plan, we can get into how this, with our landscape architects, how the stormwater really works and the planting palette, which is what this represents. I won't attempt it unless you'd like to come back to it in a minute. We have other images here that show sections of the wharf and the trees that will be in the greenway, or in the grove, rather. You see that here. This is a detail of how water will be collected from the wharf level. Let's just go kind of quickly through these. Maybe back one just, Alex, for a second. Well, a significant issue here has to do with the pilings. There are about 900 pilings that this building is built on that are in the water. They are deteriorated and need to be repaired. This is of considerable significance to state and federal people responsible for the water. And how that replacement happens is a big issue. We have explored three options. This represents one of them, which would involve putting, this is a section, so you see the yellow here this line would represent, say, ordinary water level, and this would be the river bottom. So you see the piles going in. In this, of the three options, this one would put sheet piling at the face of the mill complex, fill in the area with compacted gravel, and then restructure the piles from that level up. Other options, sister onto each piling two smaller pilings, and a third option would involve large trusses which would go from dry land out to new but bigger but far fewer new pilings that would be at the water's edge. The area, this is the entire mill complex. The blue areas where they are particularly deteriorated and will need to be replaced no matter what. The other areas, they can be repaired. Next.
This is the bridge.
Just shows the bridge that will go in blue, will go from about this area over to connect. We are working on a schematic design of the bridge and coordinating with the designers of Fields Park. And we'll have a schematic design sometime in late winter, which I believe we will also bring to you at that time. Next.
Well,
and
apologies.
And just, we're really not here to talk about the bridge today because it's just so early, but of course would welcome any thoughts you have. But in a preliminary way, we looked at some typologies for the bridge, one being very iconic, the cable stay sort of thing, another where the green would come across from the park. For a variety of reasons, the community people that we met with and staff folks and people in charge of the budget felt that a very simple but elegant bridge, something akin to this, would be most appropriate. And it's not just because of the money, it's because the mill, as you've just seen, is a very iconic structure. The freeway bridge in the background of the complex is already a very arched structure, so it seemed like a kind of a modest, again, but elegant and beautiful bridge would be most appropriate, allowing the historic buildings to really carry the aesthetic weight. And I believe that is the end of the slides.
Okay.
We'll go back to a picture.
Great. I guess this is design advice. I'd like to open it up to questions and then a quick round of comments. There's only three of us, so we should be able to get through this. Top of mind?
I would like to hear more about the open spaces from the landscape architect and just the design intent behind the grove and how the stormwater treatment is occurring for its capture.
Okay.
Julie.
This is Julie Bergman. from Dirt Studio.
Hi.
Just do read your name and address into the record, please.
Julie Bargman, Dirt Studio, is at 700 Harris Street, Charlottesville, Virginia. And we are working with Greenworks here in Portland. So we worked out the stormwater strategy with them. That's perfect.
Good.
A little pointer action?
Pointer action.
Okay. All of the roof water, I can show in the diagram after this, but generally, you know, that is all, you know, the open space, all the roof area here. The strategy is that all of that water will be gathered, and the grove is consisting of very thick, you know, planters, so that all of the water, as dictated here in the city, is goes through vegetated filters. And it's really kind of as simple as that, if you go to the next one. So here you can see all of the roof water, one area of eco-roof, but those are all gathered in the downspouts here, and the wharf surface that has this new planking that goes down to a drainage layer. And all of that is directed to this central grove stormwater management area.
So the other areas, the Willamette Steps area, could you just go through what the quality of the space is, and you mentioned something about skylights, and just what all the parts and pieces and materials are?
That is the, as Tom described, it's the wooden elevator. So there are these eight foot by eight foot elements, and so those are all broken down into sets of smaller and larger steps, and opened for planters. So it's really a pretty complex, you know, really hopefully feeling like a la Spanish Steps with planting. And this has right under here are a couple, several spaces, retail spaces. So in through here would be those skylights. There's also an elevator, a people elevator, so that when you come through the third level of the bridge, you're able to come on down the cascading steps or take an elevator intended for, you know, accessibility and also for disability. And for bikes. Okay.
And then just one last question.
Sure.
So the wharf area, that's precast concrete planking throughout, or are there wood portions of it?
Well, the intent, again, is to reuse as much material as possible. The one dilemma we have about the wood, we are really hoping to use the wood that came out of, you know, the elevators and so on. But because those come from interiors, they'd have to be treated, and we didn't want to have them sent off to be treated with toxic materials. So we are looking at something like concrete planking. That's just an initial thought. And really reusing some of the wood for these things we're calling hatches that can be pulled up to be kiosks and benches. And elsewhere, the wood is going to be used a lot in the interior.
I mean, one idea is that the wood could be used as formwork for these concrete pavers.
Yeah.
So that the pattern of the wood coming would come directly from the history of the site, but be in a more durable material.
Okay.
Great project. Really exciting. Thanks for coming to Portland. Hope you're enjoying the visit.
We are.
Just a few questions. Tom, you mentioned if the Greenway were able to go down on that lower level, that would be great. It may not be able to go down on that lower level, and if it doesn't go on that lower level, what's our perception of the connection between the two green?
Well, in this image, the intention is that it will go down on the lower level. So I think the if there is maybe more about exactly how. There are a lot of agencies that have a kind of a piece of this, and so we're working through with them how that would happen in particular. But I think there's good consensus that this level below the wharf would be a future bike and pedestrian connection to the north. Right now, it would not go anyplace, so it would be planned to be developed at the point when the Crescent Electric site is redeveloped. Some of the more of the options, let's say, have to do with where the Mounted Police's paddock is, and that may be subject to mitigation because of the pile work that we're needing to do here. So what exactly those requirements are, we're not entirely sure yet.
So in the end, it may stay up on the upper level if it doesn't work out on the lower level?
Down.
That would be a possibility. We want and we are planning that it would be on both levels, that you would be able to rise up the one level to this point and go down here in the future. But also, if you didn't want to go up and kind of intermingle with, you know, people and tables and strollers and stuff, you could have a more almost like a bypass. But it would also be, I think, kind of a wonderful place to get close to the water. And all of these piles are kind of a amazing forest of weathered material. So it's a great experience to be down there.
I think that would be an exciting place to have the continuation of the connection there. It would be great to ride a bike down there or run down there. Speaking of getting closer to the water, were there investigations of more chances of getting closer to the water? I mean, lower portions, docks, floating connections? I don't know exactly how that all works, but because it feels pretty disconnected from the water. I mean,
yes. Right? Well, it's a kind of a work in progress. The original work that the lab and we did a year and a half ago showed a kayak rental and docks down here, and I think we all are excited about that possibility. Again, it kind of hinges back to as we understand it now, if we were to put a floating dock here, then we might be required to remove some area someplace else. So until that settles down, we're kind of in kind of a holding pattern as to just whether that would happen here. I guess, and maybe we're not entirely in consensus about this either yet, but probably the highest priority I think we would all feel would be to keep this as kind of the prime area and not start nibbling away at it for other purposes. But ideally, we'd like to do it all.
Sure, because it seems often the case comes up, and as we in Portland touch the river, we all lament the fact that we all can't get to the river.
Yeah,
and this seems like an opportunity. And I'm just looking at it; it'd be interesting as an idea if those wide steps step down farther, just to get closer as close as possible, considering the high water lines and everything in the all the jurisdictions overlooking that, but.
We should point out one of the design elements is, and Julie, you could talk about this if I can get back to the page there. On the south.
It's rather faint. So
You're talking about this, Alex?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Julie and I can tag team on this, but the greenway comes along at a lower level, rises up on a ramp, and continues to rise here. And as it rises, you can probably just barely see a series of a kind of disappearing risers that form a kind of bleacher along them. So we are trying to celebrate that descent and at a handicapped and bike appropriate ramp level. And then one could continue underneath to that level that you were seeing in the image. But it's also possible that could be developed further so you could keep descending to a floating area where a boat could dock, water taxi, any of those sorts of things could happen. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the kind of place that would logically connect because we're going down already.
And even just as another suggestion, even if that wide, 50 to 60 foot wide area was perforated more to another level. If you guys could pull off that lower level, it would be nice to perforate that level more to activate the lower level, which I think would be pretty exciting. Any opportunities to get closer to the river, I think, I would love to take with any project we work on.
Yeah.
That would be great. Backing up a little, it was housing. Where was housing ever considered, any kind of housing component in this project?
It's never been part of our scheme.
Okay. HVAC system, what's the direction for just heating and cooling, or is it, or are you guys to that
Alex,
point yet,
or you just take that?
Well, we're looking at a system called City Multi.
Oh, sure.
That's kind of the way we're going. It's flexible and
pretty efficient.
It's fairly efficient. We haven't done a full energy model yet, but we're trying to hit 50% energy reduction as a just sort of main starting point. So we're hoping that that system and some of the other retrofits that we do can get us there.
Is this going to be a LEED project?
LEED. Yep. I think per the proposal or the requirements of the competition, we're meeting LEED Silver, I believe. Is that right?
Silver. Right. And we haven't, sort of added up points yet, but I think it'll probably easily be gold, I would say.
Oh, great.
Imagine.
The bridge, and maybe, Tim, you can speak a little. The bridge was laid out before you guys came along, wasn't it? Or is it coming off of the Fields Park? And so you guys just sort of have had to deal with that bridge as roughly designed and how it interacts with the mill. If you had your druthers and that wasn't designed, is that where you would have put it?
Well, that's really an interesting question. Cheryl Barton is the designer of the park, and I think it was her work with the community that positioned that bridge. And we have very good working relationship with Cheryl, so we talked about that alignment early on, and in fact explored. And we never had a problem with it. We liked that it was. Kind of the other force moving through here that made some interesting thing happen with these orthogonal grain bins. But we did look at an alternative with her, which would have gone basically straight across from Fields Park into the grove. And with staff and some community input, really felt this was a superior location. Going straight across does significant change to the park, which had got a lot of community support for just the way it was. It also required a ramping up of just the point where you'd really sort of want to view the mill. And this puts that ramping up off to the side so that the mill can be sort of the foreground or the background, however you want to see it, for the park. It also, coming in at that location, shaded some of the spaces below. The design team here likes this location a lot, and I think we would have come to probably the same conclusion.
Those are all great points. It is interesting. It's a moving of the energy line off the park through the view. The very place you want to walk, you can't, and you have to walk back quite a ways, right, to get to where that bridge starts, if you're in the park.
Yes.
And so it is a pretty strong disconnect. So I can see why you guys explored being more online, because it seems like if you're in that park or if you're in the mill, you'd really want to just get back across either way, and I
yes.
think it would activate more, especially in inclement weather and all the things, because that's quite a long journey to get back out of the park, up onto the bridge, back across the bridge.
One of the things that Cheryl and others pointed out to us is that the Pearl is expected to grow to the north, and so right now the center of action seems to be further to the south, let's say, but as the community grows it to the north, the bridge will be more centered relative to them, let's say. But because it has to rise almost 30 feet. We need a very long length of ramp, and there's an advantage to pushing that off to the side, as opposed to really just starting to ramp almost way back by Tanner's Creek Park, where everything seems to kind of get consumed by ramp, so that we can tuck that off to the side and use it to sort of, in Cheryl's design, to shelter the oval.
Yeah, just again looking at it, just I wonder if you could just bend it more to get onto your greenway. You use the same ramp, same bridge, and just bend it more to get an alignment, so the kind of energy alignments are all. And I would assume this is all, the bridge is open 24 hours a day, right? And then the interior of your building is all open, so that would all be public space, not.
Yes, that's the intention. There's been some discussion about security and. People sleeping in there and so on. So I mean, we've become aware of some of the potential liabilities of it being open 24/7. And we're looking for simple fallback positions in case it should be valuable to fence it off at certain times. There is a stair that will allow one to come across and not necessarily go through the complex, but just go down to NATO and get on your way, let's say. But that would also enable a gate to happen here, should that be necessary. But I think the folks at the lab would really like to start with the idea that it is open 24/7.
Yeah, that would be pretty sad if that all the energy ended at a gate.
It would be.
That alone would be a reason that I would suggest investigating other ways to do that bridge. If it comes down to people sleeping in an area you need to close, and it closes that infrastructure, that would be a bad outcome, in my opinion, if all that bridge design and energy were culminated in a gate. So if that would just be worth exploring. That's why I was just curious if you guys did the bridge and did everything, if this is how it would be, because it seems.
Well, the alternative that we looked at with Cheryl and other folks was to come straight across. There are positive qualities to that, certainly, but we used it as a test. And went through pluses and minuses and really came back to this. And I think some of the points you're making would agree are minuses, but on balance, we felt like this was the best.
It also consumes a lot of your lease space. It's going to be beautiful and dynamic. There's no question. I'm just wondering about some of the other considerations. The bridge, the pedestrian bridge, is being financed by the city, right?
I'm not perfectly sure where the financing is right now. I mean, one thing we will see shortly before the commission is briefings on the Fields Park and an opportunity to talk about the bridge. The timing of this really is a lot of pieces are coming together. Yeah. So it's the beginning of probably multiple conversations.
Great. One thing I was thinking in that kind of dynamic space, an interesting thing to consider that I've seen a few projects wondering about is outdoor movies being shown, just for summer screen. And it seems like that mill has a lot of planes that could use.
Yes, I think the Willamette steps could present a nice opportunity for a screening against a surface here, which would be above that one of those living room spaces. So that's one place we've discussed that happening. And I think, Ryan, you have done that kind of thing at some of your other facilities, yeah.
And where is this project, just based on the new economy we're all in and funding? What's the status of actually proceeding ahead?
Well, the work that you see here is the completion of a phase that will allow the development agreement to be negotiated, hopefully to completion, between the city and the lab. When that has happened, there are no more barriers for us to continue the design work. Now, beyond that, I guess it would depend on the market and you know, your assessment of whether you are getting the leases you need to pull the trigger. But if everything went at the very best opportunity, we could conceivably be building next fall. But the approvals to do the pile work loom out there as a real challenge in terms of the timing, as well as, I suppose, the economy right now.
Thanks.
Okay. I had a few more comments, but go ahead.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and do your comments? I'll just do all my questions and comments.
Okay. Okay, I just had a couple. The pathway under the wharf, to me, it just feels a little bit dangerous. And it could be the rendering that it is dark. I agree it would be a neat place to be under there with all the piers. And I went through this building in the pre-proposal, so I'm aware of what it's like down there. But it just seems a little dreary and a place where people would sleep. And I don't know if maybe pulling it out further, so it's coming out further than the upper wharf to allow some light in, mm-hmm. or glass block in the paving or something to allow light through. But it seems unless there's some programmed activity down there, it could potentially be a place where people are sleeping every night. And it seems like if you do keep this open 24 hours, you will just need some security there. It seems like no question that would be part of it. The other thing was, I noticed in one of the drawings the Tanner Creek pipe, and I just wanted to see if there, what your thoughts were about that, and if something more could be done with it, or if there's reasons why something can't be done with it, to make more of a feature out of the where that water is daylighting.
Right. Well, that's a significant challenge. We did go into this with the ambition of trying to daylight it in some form. Mm-hmm. It's so low that in order to get any kind of natural bank down to the level at which the pipe now is would require an enormous amount of space around it. So to literally daylight it just seemed beyond practicality. Now, Julie, there's been some other ideas about, you know, trying to make it more present. I don't know if you want to talk about some of those.
Yeah, sure. There's actually, you know, we're trying to make the most of the littleness of it there without being too ambitious, which we can't be in terms of like Tom described, the actually revealing it. And you see a large area there that actually we're calling Tanner Spring Terrace. And we're actually going to be trying to do through planting and all of that. Actually, you know, we labeled it one point a cove. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be an effort there, mm-hmm. you know, to, you know, in a modest way, but hopefully a visible way mm-hmm. to acknowledge that it's coming out there. It's so low, you literally won't be able to see the water coming out mm-hmm. there. But if, like yeah. I said, we threw a bit of landforming we can do, that's got to be modest, but mostly planting in that platform, which could, you know, be interpretive in some way.
I think an interpretive element or somehow acknowledging yeah. that that's what's yeah. happening, because I think everyone's aware of it
we
in
know.
The neighborhood. Yeah. And
we yeah. know how important it is. I mean, it's just, you know, now, there, been there, on people's brain for years and years and years mm-hmm. and years.
There may be another opportunity. You know, where the paddock remains, the mounted police stay in here. When their lease is up or when the market would allow a second phase, whatever might be built here, there would be perhaps another opportunity to enhance mm-hmm. through its landscape work and its budget the creek.
Thanks.
Okay, well, again, in the interest of time, I'm going to try to ask you some of the questions that haven't been answered for me yet and then move straight to comments. I'm assuming that because this is a culinary focused project, you've had conversations with the people who are involved with the Portland Public Market. There's been some efforts here in Portland to create a permanent farmer's market, essentially, a public market. The further south down the river, there used to be some very large and prominent public markets, and it seems like this might be an interesting way to sort of honor the history of the Portland waterfront while taking care of a project that's been really looking for a home for a long time. So I don't know if you've been talking to them, but I'd encourage you to find out more about
there,
it. If you
there have been some conversations.
Good.
I know that you
Good.
Folks have had, and Ron Paul, who's I think spearheading that, was at our public meeting last night, and so we had some good conversations about
right.
the synergy between the projects.
Right, and Oregon State University has a food innovation center very close by. It seems like there could be some really great synergies across the street, and you know, in an earlier proposal or presentation here today, you heard about you know a science center further down the river. This mm-hmm. might become some form of food center with multiple parties, you know, kind of operating on either side of NATO Parkway. I guess I had some questions about how far down the rabbit hole you've gone with boat landings, wharves, pressures on maintaining the wharves here. I know that there's been some very big issues on the Greenway and South Waterfront, where they've wanted to have boat docks and piers that come out into the water and really give people a chance to connect with the river, and basically powers higher than the city council have said no can do, and they're looking at the entire river for places to subtract. So I'm wondering what kind of pressure you guys are under to subtract rather than add, and what you really feel like you can
This is looming. Every time we come out here and have meetings, it seems to get to be a bigger and bigger issue.
And rules keep shifting, too.
We're trying to figure out what they are. But it seems like the federal and state folks would really prefer that the entire complex be gone.
That's
Just put it that simply, and that even the Greenway is a threat to habitat. But then on the other hand, there's lots and lots of support for the scheme and the Greenway. So how this will be resolved seems beyond what we've been able to imagine at the staff level that we've been talking. So I think everybody realizes it has to go to some higher level for a resolution.
Okay. So I think I'm going to agree. I agree with Jane that the below wharf bicycle path. I'm sort of, you know, I think it is an intriguing space, and I agree with Ben that maybe during the day it would be great until about noon when the sun crosses over mm-hmm. into, you know, and places that whole area into shadow. And you know, as somebody who does a lot of biking in the city, we've created a lot of devil between the devil and the deep blue sea kinds of bike paths for people where there's a freeway on one side and a river on another and a bunch of bushes or whatever. And there's not a lot of places to get yourself to a safe place except just going faster. And there's also a significant homeless population in Portland. And there have been some incidences of people, you know, basically running into trouble on some of our public trails. There's also a lot of pushback on doing things like gating stuff off. I mean, this is not a great city for gating things off. People don't appreciate it. We do want to have open access. So it really behooves design teams, I think, to work hard on environmental safety and creating safety and the perception of safety in these spaces where we're basically putting people between a wall and the water. And there's no views in. So I really encourage you to say that carefully and to create a good alternative to getting people across the dock above if it's just not feasible to get bikes underneath. Because even if you don't and there's the opportunity to get your bike across the dock, people will do that and they will try to go through. And there's a lot of will and force behind the bike community here that has nothing to do with what you designed. So think about
We're gaining an understanding of that.
Yeah, exactly, it's pretty remarkable, and people will go there whether you know, and will go to great lengths to use your space. Sometimes even when you're trying to keep them out. So do think about it, and I think we're trying to encourage people to be able to bike and walk up and down this river and really make connections that this part of the river has really been lacking. So. Keep thinking about that. I agree with Ben, the bridge thing. I mean, I almost wonder if you couldn't take the... I'm sure there are reasons why this has probably been explored and rejected, but taking that same curve and just flipping it over to the other side of the oval would land you in your grove probably issues with the building owner next door, you know, all sorts of reasons why, that can be done. But I am concerned about, you know, this bridge landing in a gate. If the public's paying for it and it doesn't go anywhere, it will not, you know, if after a certain hour it just stops at a gate, I think that's going to be a problem. I know it sounds like you've done a lot of exploring, but I think there must be a way to take care of your safety concerns, and especially if the public's paying for that amenity, keeping it basically a public amenity. To that end, also, consideration in the future as you guys are working this problem of how what it's like underneath. If I'm walking down NATO, what's my experience walking under the bridge? This is an area of Portland in need of a lot of kind of urban fabric repair. There's a lot of interrupted sidewalk and, you know, kind of marginal spaces in terms of walking through. Yeah. And we've been looking at projects up and down NATO and trying to encourage developers to take that first step to activate NATO and really kind of pushed and pushed and pushed. And so I'll be interested in seeing how you guys treat that sidewalk space underneath the bridge and what the cross traffic is going to be experiencing on foot as they come through.
I would just say that one of the factors that I didn't mention that for this location is the idea that this would serve the Crescent Electric site when it gets developed, the bridge crossing, that is. So it can serve more than one development, and there was a feeling that if it went sort of straight across, it becomes, you know, confined to one project more as a public bridge.
Sure, and I'm sure that you guys can work out a way to make the current alignment of the bridge work for your project without a gate.
Yeah,
I'm sure
that's our goal.
And I'm going to encourage you to do that. and we know when you said, you know, there might be fallback positions, I mean, I think the treatment of those fallback positions are really important. And again, it's we have really wrestled over the course of the history of the development of the Pearl District, wrestled with developers that have kind of said, well, we think this courtyard is going to be public, but we're not sure. And we might throw up a gate sometime, and you know, and I think I'd rather know what the fallback position is to start with, and know that the tissue that you're building around it still feels workable for people passing through.
We've started almost the opposite, just with saying it's going to be open, and never really giving anything else a thought until people have been starting to tell us about some of the issues that they see potentially happening there. So.
Right. Yeah. But then it comes. Then it probably that change doesn't come to the level of a review at this body, and you know it's a staff level review at that point. Who knows? You know, I would prefer to see really, you know, what the full spectrum of what you're thinking would be.
We will develop that fallback position so that it can be reviewed by folks.
Work the problem so people can't sleep there.
Yeah.
figure something else out. I guess, finally, I mean, I concur with Jane that it'd be nice if there was something appropriate to do with Tanner Creek. I mean, it is definitely kind of a stepchild project all the way through this neighborhood. Having been involved in some of the Pearl District, early Pearl District plans for these parks, and you know, everyone had these grand ideas about daylighting Tanner Creek, and, you know, and we're going to see it in every park that came along, and instead it's been the symbol of Tanner Creek. It's been, you know, Bull Run water running over a fountain, you know, or, you know, then kind of ignoring the fact that there's this water running underneath it. And, you know, and it sounds like that continues on, and so you're in good company. But no one actually really wants to deal with the creek itself. And so, you know, it'd be nice if there were something.
It has the problems that have been described, but really what maybe wasn't said clearly enough is as long as the mounted police are there, they use the site right up to the creek. So
presents all sorts of issues. And, yeah. Yeah. So
the best opportunity to do something is when they're gone.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Well, other than that, I think it's a really ambitious project. It's a terrific. It's terrific to see Centennial Mills get reused. I also had the good fortune of touring it two or three years ago, maybe longer. And it, you know, it's nice to see that something's finally moving forward. So, Unless there are any other final comments that you guys have, I'd like to wrap up.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting project.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Thank you. We're having a ball.
Do we have public testimony? Or?
Yeah, we don't have any comment letters, but if you wanted to query anyone wanted to testify.
Okay. If there's anyone here from the public that wants 3 minutes at the mic, you're welcome to join us. No? No takers? Okay, great. Next steps?
The only thing I would offer and leave open on the table is a follow-up DAR. If necessary or you feel appropriate. What I would suggest is perhaps take it to the next level of conversation or detail. This is a very large project to wrap your arms around, and to the degree that I've been involved with it, I know there's some finer scale pieces that this commission hasn't yet heard, and in terms of having that follow-up would probably be helpful.
And yeah, and unfortunately having maybe one more or two with more people here.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just the nature of how things work today, right, and the timing and football games. the issue of the bridge and the Fields Park and future conversation, yep, it might work out actually very well perhaps to have a larger return DAR dealing with the bridge, the financing of the bridge, the park. That's all right on the horizon. So this was well worth it, but coming back would be good. We don't need to set a date right now, but I just...
Yeah.
Make sure
we
all.
If possible, it would be great to see those other bridge designs that you talked to the designer about, just to talk about those here. That'd be nice.
Yeah,
And I'd focus on that, the bridge connection and the connection to the river. In any ways we can talk about that.
Bridges are unbelievably expensive. I mean, it doesn't matter how small. They're so expensive and difficult to get done. And I agree with Ben. It's just be a shame to have it end at something where you can get through.
Okay.
But yeah, what an exciting project, mm-hmm, to pull it off in almost any form. It's just already great, you know. So great.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quickly, issues of interest to commissioners. We can talk about this offline without Sarah recording it, but because we're not even a quorum. But do you want to tell them?
Okay, so we had the opportunity to write this letter.
Oh, yeah.
This is the letter for? Oh, the letter that I wrote.
Yeah. We have the opportunity to have